One of the things I did when I was gone was I talked to one of the congregations there in Phnom Penh in Cambodia about a word I've talked to you about before. One reason I want to talk to them about it is that one of the things I think is I see growth. I've gone 5 times to Cambodia. First time I went in 2009, so it's been 15 years that I've periodically gone there. And I've seen growth. And one of the things I saw as growth is that a congregation in Phnom Penh is helping to support people do mission or outreach or evangelism in other parts of Cambodia. And so one of the things I talked to them about is the idea of a Greek word. I've talked to you about it, but I want to bring it up again today. And it's the word propimpo. And I know it's a kind of a funny sounding word, but I think a good translation of it is propel, to send out. And the reason I got that picture up there, I've actually seen this in a science project. You can get a water bottle and you use the lids for the wheels and straws, and you make holes and use rubber bands, and you get a balloon there, and you blow that balloon up, and that thing will go. And you could build one of these at home, right? But I don't know that you want to. I guess if you got one of those great big water bottles, you might could ride it. But the word propimpo, to me, to propel, to send out. And if you look at the dictionary on this word, it's the definitions. The idea of escort, to send out, or to equip for further journeys. And I was to look very quickly at just some instances where this word is used. First of all, in Acts chapter 20. And so look at Acts chapter 20. Do you remember in Acts chapter 20, Paul calls to a little seacoast town, Miletus, the elders from Ephesus, to meet with him. And one of the things he says is, "I don't think you're going to see my face again." And there's some weeping, there's great sorrow. And it says in verse 38, and so then they accompanied him, is the way mine translates it in verse 38. They accompanied him to his ship. But it's that word propimpo. And so it can be just basically the idea of escort. You go with somebody. And you find a similar use in the next chapter over, in chapter 21. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And so he stops along the coast of Palestine at Tyre. And it says in chapter 21, verse 5, that after he spends about a week in Tyre with the brethren there, that they also escort him out to his ship. That's the word, again, that word propimpo. But if you look at Acts chapter 15, there's a little bit, the word gets a little bit more involved, I guess you would say. It's more than just escorting. It is, in fact, a second meaning, and you know this by the context here, but it's the idea of equipping, sending someone out as your representative, and so you equip them for the journey. You make sure they got everything they need. Do you have gas in the car? Do you have some snacks to go with to eat on the way? Do you have somewhere to stay on the way? And so in Acts chapter 15, in verse 3, the church is sending Paul out. The church at Antioch is sending Paul and Barnabas down to Jerusalem. And in chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "And being sent on their way by the church." So the church is sending them. They're the representatives of the church for this big meeting that's going to occur in Jerusalem. And I think it's sending out, but also the assumption is they're going to make sure that Paul and Barnabas have everything they need for this trip. Why? Because they're representing the church itself. And in Romans chapter 15, toward the end of that letter, Paul talks about his future plans. And in chapter 15, verse 24, he says, So I hope to see you as I am passing on my way to Spain. So Paul says, I'm going to come through Rome. I'm going to stop and see you, but I'm going to go continue to head west and go on to Spain. And he says, but I expect that you will propimpo me, that you will send me on my journey and equip me on my journey. I will be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while, he says. And then if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul will say something similar there where he says in verse 5, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia and perhaps stay with you or even spend the winter with you at Corinth so that you may propimpo, so that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. And then he says, after I leave, in verse 11, he says, Timothy's going to come after I leave. And he says in verse 11, don't let no one despise him and propimpo him, help him on his way in peace that he may return to me. And so once Timothy spent some time with you at Corinth, I want you then, as you did me, I want you to send Timothy out as well and equip him for his journey so that he can make this this trip as planned. And then 2 Corinthians, just right a page or so over from this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and come back to you from Macedonia and then have you send me on my way, propimpo, to Judea. A number of times that we see here this word is used, six times so far. But the ones I want us to really look at, now, if you haven't got your Bible out already, I hope you'll get your Bible out. And I want us to look at the last two of these uses of this word, because I think it's more of the sense of what I think it's very helpful. First of all, in Titus chapter 3, notice in chapter 3 of Titus, now Paul is going to say to Titus, you've got a limited amount of time left on this island out in the Mediterranean. So I want you to do what I told you to do in the first place. You go back and read chapter 1. As I told you, I want you to see that there are elders appointed in all the churches around the island of Crete. But then he says in chapter 3, verse 12, when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis. Nicopolis is on the west coast of Greece. And he says, I have decided to spend the winter there. So Timothy only has until winter to work on Crete, and then he's going to be going to the west coast of Greece. But notice verse 13. Do your best to speed on their way. That's the word propimpo. To speed on their way, Zenas the lawyer and Apollos. Now, what you're hearing there, what he's talking about is these two men are missionaries. And they're going to come through Crete. And they're going to meet with Titus. And he says, I want you at the churches there on the island of Crete to make sure that they have what they need. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. Propimpo. And notice what he elaborates on this. He specifies what he means by this. See that they lack nothing. I want you to equip them. I want you to outfit them. I want you to provide all of their needs so that they have everything that they need as they go out to share the gospel. Why? Because that is a way for you to participate with them in what they are doing. And notice in verse 14, he says, so let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. Now, you need to tie verse 14 to verse 13. The good work, here's an example of the good works they're needing to learn to do. And that is to speed on their journey to Propimpo people like Zenas and Apollos. That our people need to learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and to not be unfruitful. Do you hear what he's saying? That on the island of Crete, these people can learn to be fruitful, to bear fruit. How? By supplying the needs of missionaries. I think that's interesting. That it is a sign of fruit, of being fruitful as the people of God when we help to support others in the work of evangelism, of sharing the gospel. And then notice 3 John. Here's an eighth example of the use of this word. And I think these last two, again, I think are really helpful and important. Notice in 3 John. Notice verse 3. John says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth." And he says, verse 4, "There's nothing that brings me greater joy than to see that my children," I think his children in the faith, "are walking in the truth." And then notice verse 5. Here's an example of their walking in the truth. "Beloved," he says, "it is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brethren, strangers though they are." Now, pick up on that. Here are their brothers in Christ, but they are strangers. They do not know them until these guys show up. "Strangers as they are," verse 6, "who have testified to your love before the church, you will do well to propimpo," there's that word again, "to send them on their journey," he says, "in a manner worthy of God." In a manner that you're pleasing God, even as you help and assist these brothers who are strangers to you. Now notice what he says in verse 7 about these brothers who are strangers to them, who are now going to show up at that church, and he's going to say, verse 7, "For they have gone out for the sake of the name." They have gone out for the sake of the name of Jesus. They are sharing the gospel of Christ. And it says, "accepting nothing from the unbelievers," from the Gentiles. Well, then who do they accept something from? They accept something from the church. Verse 8, "Therefore, we ought to support people like these." Notice what he says in verse 8. This is very important. He says to this church, "When you support people like this, strangers to you, but who are brethren, who have gone out for the sake of the name, when you support them, you become fellow workers in the truth with them." Do you hear what he's saying? You may not be a part of that mission effort that they're a part of. You may not actually go to that place yourself. But as you help support that person, you are in fact becoming their partner. I listened to Doug Young last week. I was sick, but I was at home, and I watched on Zoom. And that's part of his message last week. I think this is also true, and I think he brought this out last week, that when we help support homes that provide for children, we become participants with them. We share in that work. And I think that that's true of evangelism. It's true of benevolence in various ways, that we become participants as we do that. Now, my point is that, And I stress this to our brethren, that's one of the things that impressed me the most about progress in the church in Cambodia, is that they are doing this. That they are helping, and provide the needs for those who are sharing the gospel in other places. That's a sign of progress and growth and maturity. And so they're sending out and equipping for journeys, that these are ways to be fruitful and to share in good works. And the reason I want to point that out also is that's what you did. The church here provided the plane ticket for me to go to Cambodia. And by doing that, you became a part of that work. And so I want to talk some about what I did in that trip. It was a long trip. It was on the way, but the longest leg of the flight was 16 hours in the air from San Francisco to Singapore. And then it's about an hour and a half more from Singapore to Phnom Penh. But one of the things, when I went back home, it went a little bit different way. And I went from Phnom Penh to Incheon, or Seoul, Korea, which is about a 5-hour flight, and then a layover, and then another 11 hours to San Francisco back that way. But in total, it was about 30 hours, counting layovers, to go from Phnom Penh back to Midland that week. My hosts were Rich and Rhonda Dolan. We first met them when he was a youth minister in San Angelo. Then they were in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for a number of years. And they have been, since 2007, have been in Phnom Penh. And one of the great things they've done is they've learned to speak Khmer, which is the language of Cambodia. And he teaches all his courses in the language that they know. And they both are fluent in that language. And so after a day or two after I got there, we drove from Phnom Penh to Siem Reap, where they were having this year, every year, Churches of Christ missionaries in Asia get together to encourage one another, to study, and to be a blessing to each other. And this year, it was in Cambodia. And so I got to go participate in the Asian Mission Forum. And it was really nice. It was good. It was encouraging. And this is the hotel we stayed in Siem Reap. Siem Reap's, I think it's about maybe not quite 1 million people. There's 3 or 4 million live in Phnom Penh. It's about a 6-hour drive. But, I mean, nice hotel. That's the lobby of the hotel. And there's the upstairs there, looking down at the lobby. That's my room that I stayed in Siem Reap. So it was a nice hotel. That, looking off the balcony, there's a couple pools there. But what was really good was the time spent and meeting missionaries from Asia. This was a discussion group. So they, one of the things they did in that meeting room was they had discussion groups. What's interesting is as you look at that, you can see people from, so there's people just at this table right here from the Philippines, from New Zealand, and from India, all that are meeting at that table and having part of the discussion. They would have a presentation, have discussion groups. There's another discussion group that I was a part of. Great food at this place. They would cook an omelet for you every morning if you wanted an omelet. And it was, and they had Asian as well as Western food and lots of different places you could get. I did well. I did the food part. That's where we had breakfast. And there are some more of those meetings. When you look at this picture right here, the guy that's right there to the left corner, Craig Phillips, I met him, is a longtime missionary in Nepal. And I think that if I remember right, there were 14 different countries people were from at the forum. I love this picture because this is a man named from Cambodia named Kim Rim, who was a student, I think, in 2015 or 2012 when I taught at Cambodia Bible Institute. And he was the translator for me when I talked this time. But he is leading a song in English at the Asian Mission Forum. And so I think I appreciate his progress. Right before I left, you'll remember Ryan Simpson was here. And he gave us a report because we have participated with him in the work that's being done in Ghana and Togo. So I wanted to show you this picture because one of the persons that they invited to do a presentation to these missionaries was a man from Ghana who has developed a lot of the things. Maybe you picked up on Ryan talking about not only are they doing evangelism, but they're doing a great job with discipleship, helping Christians grow after they're baptized. One of the key persons that's doing that in Ghana was invited to come speak at the Asian Mission Forum. And so I met Charles. And I said, "Have you ever met Ryan Simpson?" And he said, "Yes, the first time Ryan came, we were out. And I said to Ryan, 'It's your turn to preach.' And he didn't know I was going to say that to him. And Ryan got up and preached. And I ended up baptizing 13 people after that first lesson that he taught. And so he wanted to be sure he got a picture of me with him. And he sent that to Ryan. And so I think Ryan was pretty excited about the fact that I met Charles. I can't say the rest of his name. But I do know it's Charles.
So which one is he, in the red or the middle?
It's the one in the red. He's from Ghana. Yeah, the guy in the middle is from India or Pakistan. I can't remember which. This picture is a guy, Ong Chong Phat. Ong is his surname. So in Asia, you put the surname first. So Chong is what he goes by. He is a preacher in Malaysia. But the reason I wanted to get his picture was, one of the things is we talked to each other, we discovered we both were in graduate school at Abilene Christian at the same time. But we never were in the same class. We didn't take any of the same courses at the same time. But it was interesting to talk to him. He now has preached for years and years in Malaysia, which is where he's from. These are the students. So after the Asian Mission Forum, I came back and started on the 31st of July. I taught 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus to a group of students. Now, they had 11 students graduate earlier, like in March, and so they're still building their numbers back up. Usually, they have 20 or so students. Right now, they had 10, but they're adding some more. Even after I left, I think some more were starting. But it was a great 3 weeks that I taught these students, and I learned a lot. I think that it was good for them as well. One of the things that's important, I think, for what's being done in Cambodia is these are students who are all in their 20s. Most of them have grown up either mostly Buddhist, although if you look at this girl on the left, standing on the left, this third one from the left there, her name is Shroy. One of the things I found out in visiting with her and as we talked in class is that, so her mother is Buddhist, but her father is Muslim. And there are parts of Cambodia that are Muslim. And so it was interesting. She has now become a Christian, but that's her heritage. That's her background. But in the 1970s, there were probably, the estimate is at least 1 million people killed in genocide in Cambodia. And some suggest it may be as many as 2 million. There's killing fields all over that country now. People were buried. And one of the results of that is that the population overall in Cambodia is mostly young. A lot of the people that would be around that would be my age are gone. They're dead. And so one of the things that in teaching in a school like this is you're teaching younger people who should, there's the potential for them having a long-term effect in the life of the church in Cambodia. Now, it's hot, and that's a, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm hot. But I was teaching that day, and you can see Kim Rim a little bit behind me over there that's teaching. And there was a fan. You don't see the fan, but there was a fan. But I think it's worthwhile. What and I want to say what we did, because it isn't just me. I think you sent me. You participated with me in that sense. I think it's an important investment. Phnom Penh itself is 3 to 4 million people. They don't even really know for sure how many live there because people are moving a lot from the villages into the city for jobs, for education. The students that are part of Cambodia Bible Institute, what they do is they do Bible study in the mornings. And then they do in the afternoon and evening, they do either vocational training or college training. Working on degrees. For instance, I met one that had taken a leave for a while to do an internship because he's doing a mechanical engineering degree. And so he had an internship with that, so he left school for a little bit, but he's about to start back because he's finishing his internship. Let me just show you a few pictures of that city and what it looks like. In Cambodia. This is taken from the fifth floor of the house that we were staying, where the Dolans have been. They have five levels, and the top level is an open area, and so you could take pictures around just looking out from where their house is. There's a lot of tall buildings. One of the things that's happened is China has come in and built some tall buildings, but then started building them. If you're aware of the economics, what's going on with China, their real estate economy has dropped, collapsed. And so there's several tall buildings that have been started that are just sitting empty now because they couldn't finish it. But the Koreans also are investing there. They have several four-story malls that are huge malls in Phnom Penh that have been built by the Japanese. Just some more pictures. I wanted to show you this. I don't know how well you can see right at the bottom of that picture. I'll show you a little closer. But so Midland's not the only place doing infrastructure. Garfield's is not the only one of those. This was right by the house where we were at. Now, I don't know if you can see those pipes right there. They're redoing the water lines, so we had to move the vehicle and park it somewhere else, and then just kind of roll my suitcases out. They were right in front of the house when I left. They just happened to be right there at that point. This is, it talked about the population in Cambodia is mostly young. When we first went there in 2009, they were saying over 60% were 20 or younger. And now, because over a 15-year period, now it's more like 45% of their whole population is 20 or younger. And so, again, I think that's why it's important to do investment in the lives of these people right now. This picture is at the Phnom Penh Church of Christ on Sunday morning. Rich Dolan was preaching. I don't know how well you can see the screen there, but he was preaching about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's the fiery furnace right there. And then I had an opportunity to preach at what's called the Capital Church of Christ in Phnom Penh. And this is Rich Dolan was translating for me and actually had translated the lesson I was doing. If you see, you can see it's in the Khmer language there. He had translated that into Khmer for me. And so I was actually doing a lesson on Matthew 13, but I was a little bit of background to the Gospel of Matthew is what I was sharing with them. But again, my point is that you sent out me and equipped me for the journey. And by doing that, you were able to share in the work that I did. You propelled me on my journey to Cambodia. And so you have shared in that work. And so that's why I think it's important to share with you what I did, because it's what we did. And it's the work that we have done and the investment we have made in the future of the church in Cambodia. So I just want to thank you for your part in doing that. I would remind